Old Jungle.
Welcome to Talent Talk, brought to you by Marine Parks Economic and Workforce Development Team, your partner in creating solutions to address today's workforce challenges. I'm Mindy Boynton, co-hosting today alongside my colleague, Bo Gellings from Marine Park Technical College. Today we are speaking with Chad Kapitsky, owner of Next Gen Advantage and Marine Park Strat Executive Coach. Chad is an expert on the generational workplace and dedicated to helping companies attract, motivate, and retain talent. Welcome, Chad. Chad, if you could tell us a little bit about how you got into this generational workforce space.
So I live in the world of talent management, and it's all about attracting, motivating, and retaining talent. But what I bring to that table is a generational perspective. I oversaw a managed millennial internship program, and it was run very much like a temporary staffing agency type of model. I literally caught the very first edges of the millennials walking into the workspace and been coaching, mentoring, and helping them. The fact that that program was a staffing agency type of model, I got to sit third party between businesses and that young talent. And in doing so, I became the trusted third party resource, and I got to hear the compliments, the complaints. I got to blaze away and ask a lot of questions about what worked and what didn't. The reason I walked into the generational space is because of the number of complaints that I was hearing from business owners and hiring managers about this younger talent. And a lot of the things that we were doing within that program were really counter to what they were experiencing with this generation. And so I walked into that space to help educate those business owners, those leaders, on who this next generation was and how to engage and attract them. As I continued to move through that process, I realized it wasn't just about the millennials. It was really about how do we engage across all the generations within our organizations to help our organizations move forward.
Interesting, Chad. So it sounds like a little bit of trial by fire, and you got thrown into the generational mix early on. So can you give us an example of, as you're working with companies, an example of some recruitment efforts that really are structured to support a diverse workforce?
Sure. I would probably back up a little bit in before we get to the recruiting efforts. I think you talked about a diverse culture. I often talk about, especially on the generational piece, that I think there's three things that need to be present. Number one, I believe that everybody needs to be welcomed around the table. I believe everybody needs to be respected around that table. And I believe that all ideas need to be shared. So when you bring three or four generations around the table to solve a problem, the minimum number of solutions that you'll have will be three or four, depending on the number of generations you have, right? But if you can't create that culture, that won't happen. And if you think about if those pieces are in place, you get everybody to have a voice, you get different perspectives, you get a little bit more open-minded culture, right? And that potentially start setting your organization apart from others. And then now you can use that as a recruiting effort or a story to tell that that culture is a little bit different because we're open to that environment.
That's a great point, Chad. Culture is a great piece, not only for recruiting, as well as retaining. So what are some of the strategies that companies are using? What are these different generations exactly looking for? What are some of the trends or themes you're seeing to retain talent across multiple generations?
Yeah, I think there has to be that foundation needs to be there, right? Those pieces open to having everybody sit at the table, everybody's respected, and have everybody's voices shared. Once that's in place, I think there's opportunities for organizations to think differently about how we engage. My opinion is what we've done is we've sort of whitewashed across those generations, and I'll give you an example. So if one of the ways that we motivate is by offering a benefit package. One of the benefits that we offer is a 401k, right? Well, the baby boomers are the closest to the retirement, so they're pretty much engaged in that process. But for Gen Xers, our motivation is potentially, you know what, we want work-life balance. That additional benefit is maybe additional vacation time or additional money to go spend time with family and family and friends to take on adventures. The younger generations, it's about paying the bills, right? They have student loan debts. And so when we whitewash across that generation or across the workplace, we probably mistreat a bunch of individuals. And so I'm challenging organizations to think differently about how we do that. And can we create a situation where we offer a la carte types of packages where, you know what, maybe it's just a round number, $5,000. We're going to give a $5,000 and we're going to offer 6 or 7 benefits. You get to pick and choose which one of those benefits are. So maybe somebody that's closer to retirement, they're going to take that $5,000 and stick it into their 401k. Somebody like me who's a Gen Xer, you know what, I want to buy additional PTO time, right? Millennials, maybe they want to take that and put it towards, paying down their student loan debt. And really, it's about the organizations that I think are being successful are recognizing that each of us is an individual, right? And they're putting that that choice back in the employer's hands to some extent, but still keeping it within their budgets and within the policies and procedures that they have within their organization.
That's great, Chad. I've been reading a lot more as well on the personalized benefit packages. How do companies even get started with identifying what benefits matter across the different generations to even know what to offer? I love that a la carte idea. How do you gather that information to offer the benefits that are meaningful for the various generations?
I think the first thing is to create that conversation, right? It is to understand what individuals value within that environment. I also challenging organizations to not think outside the box, but to get rid of the box. And I think those organizations that are open-minded to saying, okay, we're not going to think outside the box, we're getting rid of it, opens up the possibilities, right? Because what happens is we create a bunch of policies, right? Our policy is that everybody gets 2 weeks of vacation to start. Why? Because that's what the policy is. The policy isn't a law, right? But sometimes we get so caught up in thinking that way that there isn't anything out there. Well, let's get rid of the policies, right? And let's completely start over. So that's the first thing. Then the second thing is to really start asking the questions of what motivates you, right? We've had conversations about, and the piece that I've learned about these younger generations is that they've taught me it's not how I want to communicate, but how to each and every one of you want to be communicated to. And that's different. Same thing with your benefits. Well, this benefit might benefit me, but it might not motivate you or retain you. And so it's about opening those channels of communication to find out what people in your organization are looking for.
Very interesting, Chad. So in theory, I think those sound great. If I'm a business owner or an HR leader or some key decision maker, where do I get started with something like that? What's a good stepping stone, something that maybe I can see success in the short term and build on?
I think the biggest struggle for those leaders and those owners that are thinking about making the change is actually taking the first step. This is all risk. Right? Everything that I had done within that program was everything opposite what everybody else was doing. That put me at a huge risk of having it fail. And I think that's the first step is to recognize that the things I'm going to be doing are going to be different than what we've done and taking that step. And so it's about recognizing that piece and then going to create that environment to find out what people are motivated and going through that process.
So it's a little bit of acknowledging the fact that this may not be successful and it might have to take a couple different passes at this. Does that sound right?
I would agree.
I love that concept of getting rid of the box completely and opening up the dialogue, right? Taking the first step, asking good questions. What are some of the unique challenges you're currently seeing in this multi-generational workforce? We know there's been some friction that maybe the work styles, the work hours, we've heard of ghosting. What are some other unique challenges that you're seeing with different motivators, different work styles, personalities? Can you talk a little bit about that?
The this what I'm calling the great generational shift is creating all kinds of problems. If you truly think about it, it's everything from succession planning to training and development, which is where the space that you guys live in. Information knowledge transfer, right? We have individuals that have been in our organization for 30, 35 years, and they just know things that aren't in the training manual, and we need to pull that out. Figuring out how we're going to attract, motivate, and retain our top talent. All of those changes are forcing organizations to go through cultural transformations like we've never seen before, and that's putting pressure, right? So for the last 30 years, the baby boomers have helped us define and develop the current world of work that we live in, and it's worked. But the problem is now we're still using some of those same tactics and strategies on Xers like me and the baby boomers as we are with the younger generations, and it's creating some head-scratching types of moments. I'll give you one example. A couple months ago, a lady had walked up to me and said, this is awesome, this is very good, but I've been in my organization for 35 years. I have just now earned 5 weeks of vacation. I just found out that my organization, to be competitive, is now going out and offering 3 to 4 weeks of vacation to start. That's making me irritated. And so now, just like that, we have a situation where we have to deal with that angst, right, between those two parties within our organization. The cool thing is if you can create that culture where ideas can be shared, one of the things that organizations are now doing to help those individuals that have been in organizations for a long period of time is offering a sabbatical. So for every 10 years, you get a 2 weeks paid vacation or paid sabbatical along with your vacation to say thank you. So somebody that's got 30 years in as a one-time reward, they're offering that a 6 week sabbatical over the next couple of years or whatever it might be to use that amount to say thank you. If you think about that, you also now have a retention piece for those that are maybe at 5 years or 6 years. Well, you know what? If I make it to 10, I get another 2 weeks on top of the 4 that I had originally gotten. And so, again, it's about making sure that we're engaging across the generations in providing value, not only to them, but so that they're also engaged coming back.
Awesome. I love that. And engagement is so important, but it's so challenging. What type of activities, or I've heard of these new unity groups, building alliances, what are you hearing from companies that they're doing to help build relationships across their organization, to get employees engaged with each other, you know, in this day of technology and communication? What are you hearing? How do people engage?
I think what I hear from talent are a couple things. Number one, I believe whether you go across the generations, I think everybody wants to add value. And how we do that is, number one, we allow them to have a voice, right? They want to have impact. Number three, they want to have growth opportunities. And then number four, I believe that they want to be invested in. And so whatever we can do to create that environment, whether it's a unity group, whether it's mentoring groups, whether that's a quarterly meeting and we bring in training pieces, educate people to help them invest in them, and then we take that training opportunity and flip it into what does that mean for us, and we take it into a strategy meeting to get those ideas. We've done a couple things. Number one, we've invested in that talent to help them educate on whatever it might be, right? Communication styles, dealing with conflict. And then we take that and turn that into a strategy piece. Now we're pulling out their ideas and value, and now we get to maybe implement that within our organization. Roundabout way, we're checking off a couple of those pieces that talent's looking for.
Yeah, it seems like a great way to take their ideas and then make that the foundation for whatever policy or program you're going to implement.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them a lot of control, as well as creating the future of the companies they're working at.
Absolutely.
So we've talked a little bit about this, Chad. Tell us about your experience with reverse mentoring, specifically around uniting these diverse workforce pockets.
Yeah. I actually like reverse mentoring. In fact, a lot of my presentations and trainings that I do, I encourage organizations to do the reverse mentoring. Reverse mentoring is basically matching up young talent with more experienced talent and having them lead the charge. Now, that's not easy because I've had the experience of a baby boomer walking up to me saying, and what am I going to learn? And as we get into the conversation, I find out that baby boomer has 7 grandkids and the grandkids never call grandma and grandpa, right? And well, there's some opportunity for that young talent to teach that baby boomer on how to engage, how to communicate, what are the applications that are out there that their grandkids are using. And whether it's reverse mentoring or just strictly mentoring, ultimately what it's about is opening up those channels to have a conversation. And if you can successfully set that up within your organization, you get information knowledge transfer, right? And a lot of businesses are worried about those baby boomers exiting stage left. And one of the ways that we can engage that is to go have them mentor that younger talent to help them leave a legacy within their organization. But in doing so, we open up those channels to say, hey, this is how I did it back in the day, right? And that other side is open to listening to that and then also saying, well, this is how I do it. And because of that, they use each other as a sounding board and information gets transferred that in that capacity.
Awesome. Just to expand off mentoring, because I think it is so important, but we don't always know how to be a mentor and what different generations are looking for in mentors or coaches. Can you talk a little bit? I know through your experience as an executive coach with our STRAT program, you're working with up-and-coming leaders, current leaders, CEOs, really a generational mix. What are the different generations looking for as far as their expectations from you as a coach, and that businesses can take away and say, here's how we can start developing our coaches and our mentors to meet the needs of different generations?
Again, I think it's about asking questions, right? And what I did with that millennial generation when I ran that program is I sort of did reverse mentoring backwards, but I drove the conversation. So I went into that younger talent's workspace and I said, if you only had one app, if I had to remove all of the apps off of your phone and you only had one app to put back on, which one would it be? And the response that I got was whatever it was, right? It was Instagram, it was Facebook, it was whatever. And then I started asking why. And they would tell me why. And then I would start asking, well, how can we implement that here? Right? And it was about asking questions so that I could get information. And as that conversation started, that's where the brainstorming took place. And again, I think things are shifting. It's no longer about how I want to work. How do you want to work in your environment? And I have to understand that. So asking a lot of questions through that process, I think, helps. But also being able to engage and listen through that process.
Chad, if folks could take away one thing about what we've talked about today, what would be the one thing you would tell them to focus on?
I think the biggest thing is to get rid of the box. One of the things that I constantly hear or from my presentations, there's a saying that I have. It's not right or wrong. It's just different. And if we truly look at the things that we've done over our careers or over within our organizations, we often get into, well, this is how it's been done. And we don't stop building that box. We continue building. And then all of a sudden, well, this is how we've done it here because that's how it's always been done. And when we start putting ourselves into a box, it stifles creativity, innovation, and new ways of doing things. It hampers the personal and professional development of the person that's saying that as well as the person it's being said to. And I would challenge organizations to think differently. We're talking about Industry 4.0. We have a generational shift taking place. We have new technology coming in. We have worlds of work that are being blown up because of that technology and how we engage talent. I don't think we're just going through some change. I think we're truly going through a workplace revolution. And if we're not open to thinking differently about how to do things, my fear is that those organizations or those leadership teams are going to be left behind. And I'm just using that generational space to let people know we're going through some changes. In the next 5 to 7 years, the baby boomers, they'll be one of the smallest generation in the workplace. And so that's not taking place over the next 10 or 15 years. It's happening right now. And so we have to be open to creating those diverse cultures and being open to those ideas that are coming to help our organizations move forward.
Wow, that's quite the answer. I appreciate all of your insight, Chad. Mindy and I are grateful for the opportunity to sit down with you and have this conversation. We also appreciate all the work that you're doing. Mindy and I talk about generations, and we're working with organizations in our district to help bring solutions to them. We think your skill set will be in high demand for a very long time. So again, just want to thank you for the opportunity to connect with you on this very important topic. We'd like to let our listeners know if they're looking for more information to follow Chad's blog. Also, visit our website, which is moraineparks.edu /strat or /newsletter if you'd be interested in signing up for our newsletter to look for more additional content and also future podcasts on a monthly basis. So that concludes our podcast today. I'd like to thank everybody for joining.